The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. John writes, "There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all people might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, 'I am not the Christ.' They asked him, 'Then who are you? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.' Finally, they said, 'Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, 'I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord.' Now some Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, 'Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?' 'I baptize with water,' John replied, 'but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie.' This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. "For God has clothed me with the garments of salvation," says the prophet Isaiah. "God has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." It is a new beginning. It is a fresh start. God's people have come home in this part of the book of the prophet Isaiah, sometimes called 3rd Isaiah, way at the end of the book, home from their 70-odd year exile in Babylon, home to ruined cities, home to wasted fields, home to a land now occupied mostly by people they do not know, strangers, foreigners. God's people are anxious at this point for a new beginning. These former exiles long for a fresh start. We can appreciate how they feel. We may not be back from foreign exile, unless, of course, I've been like back to Kansas City recently or something. Our cities may not be waste and ruin, although I'm not so sure about that. There are some parts of most cities I wonder about, and some parts of the countryside too, for that matter. Our fields may not lie ravaged by war, at least not in this country, at least not at this time. But we are worn enough and wearied enough by the other forces we face, as powerful as any invading army. How many of you have any form of consumer debt? Do not raise your hands, by the way, because I don't want to know who you are, but how many of you have any form of consumer debt? How many credit card offers have you received this year? How many of you have had so little to do that you've actually counted them? Have any of these companies called you at home around 6 o'clock in the evening with offers that sounded too good to be true. Note, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably isn't. Mm-hmm. This whole borrow and spend thing has become a huge force in our society and a huge burden for a lot of people. Have you ever felt that panic of uncertainty about whether you really have enough? Wondered if maybe you really do need another one of those fill in the blank with whatever you want. Have you ever doubted that one old one you have could possibly be as good or as satisfactory or as spiffy as the new one that company wants you to buy? Has that ever happened to you? This whole buy more now thing has also become a huge, huge force in our society. And an ever-growing burden made all the heavier by what we euphemistically refer to as the holiday season. Come with me to any shopping mall and try to persuade me, if you can, that this is not so. Buy more now. Our American love affair with money and stuff threatens us with our own peculiar exile and can leave plenty of its own kind of wreckage, too. A ruined sense of what matters in life, wasted efforts to get more and more and more and more and more, a lost connection with our own selves and with the loved ones we say we're buying all of these things for. I'm buying this because I love you, you know. The closer we get to Christmas, the more worn and weary faces tend to be, at least in my eyes as I see them, whether we're looking around us or in the mirror. Well, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, says the prophet Isaiah, because the Lord has anointed me, God has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to announce release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Could this be a new beginning? Could this be a fresh start also for us, not just for Israel of old after the exile, but for us now, today, here in this place? It's curious, though, that the prophet Isaiah invokes marriage as his image of a fresh start and a new beginning. Curious, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland and a bride adorns herself with a jewel. There it is. It's a magnificent picture. It's gorgeous. It's lovely. You can kind of envision what that would look like. Yeah? It's curious, though, because there isn't all that much new about marriage. Not all that much new. People have been getting married for a long, long time, as long as there have been people. For generations and centuries and thousands of years, people have been getting married. Ever since we have had any form of human community, we have had some form of marriage. It's one of the fundamental building blocks of human society. And yet, as familiar as it is, and in that sense as old hat as it is, we make quite a fuss when there's a wedding, don't we? Make quite a fuss. We do ceremonies, and we buy gowns and tuxes and flowers and gifts. We have receptions and licenses and rings and arguments with the mother of the bride and the mother of the groom and the cousin of the groom's attendant and the, you know, how that goes. On and on. I've done a few weddings. Okay. We know inside ourselves that when he says yes and she says yes, it's a new beginning. It's a fresh start, at least for these two. It's a new beginning, it's a fresh start. An original creation is underway. That's what it is. We even talk about it like that. Those whom God has joined together, we say. One new being out of the two, those whom God has joined together, let no one separate. That's been in every wedding I have ever done. And that is creation language. A new creation is underway. Still, marriage is in many places on the wane. In a lot of places, marriage is fading. Never mind the rate of divorce, the marriages that don't last, marriage itself isn't happening. A lot of people just aren't getting married at all. And that appears to be on the increase. I just heard an item about that on NPR or read it in the paper or something. Plenty of folks are living together in one arrangement or another, but they aren't saying that yes to one another that we connect with marriage. That new being is not being created out of the two. And no doubt there are lots of reasons why this is happening in our society, but I wonder if at least part of it might not be about our becoming cynical and discouraged and despairing that something new is even possible for us. It's kind of a form of giving up. Nothing new is possible anyway. Why should we bother? Why should we take the risk? Why should we even try? It isn't worth it. I wonder if there isn't some of that mixed in somewhere. Are we afraid that life will always be the same old thing over and over and over and over and over again? The same old thing. No wonder we feel tired about it. When John is preaching out in the wilderness of Judea, priests and Levites come to ask him, "Are you Elijah? Or are you one of the other prophets? Are you someone we have heard before?" Okay? "Are you someone we have heard before? Are you, John, the same old thing over again? Are you the same old thing over again?" And John answers, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord.' One is coming," John says. "One is coming who bears the Spirit of God. One is coming who is anointed with the Spirit of God," just like the prophet Isaiah says. "One is coming who is chosen of God and sent from God. One is coming who will be good news for the oppressed." Never mind bringing good news. One is coming who will be himself good news. One is coming who will be healing for the brokenhearted. One is coming who will be liberty to the captives. One is coming who will be release to the prisoners. One is coming who will be himself God's favor for God's people right in our midst. One is coming who will be our new beginning, in marriage, out of marriage, single, married, family, not family, doesn't matter. One is coming who will be our new beginning. One is coming who will become our fresh start. One is coming who will embody in himself our comfort and our hope and our courage right in our midst. One is coming who will spread a table of gladness for us, like the prophet images. One is coming who will share a loaf of righteousness with us. One is coming who will pour a cup of praise that we may drink it with him. One is coming who will feed us himself in the Spirit of God. One is coming who will pour himself out in the Spirit of God. One is coming who will fill us with himself. We who feel so empty so much of the time. One is coming who will fill us with himself in the Spirit of God. Even now that one is very near, very near. Come like a bridegroom decked with a garland. Come like a bridegroom, like a bride adorned with her jewels. Come with your hunger. Come with your thirst. Come and dine. Come and dine. Let everyone say amen.